Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm really excited to have Craig Harris here. It's really interesting because he spent so much time in PR, storytelling, and AI now and in the media. And so really interesting company, look at media. But Craig, pleasure to have you here. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
First of all, Dean, thank you very much. And thank you to everybody who's listening and watching. My background is in communications primarily. I've been doing it for about 35 years. It shows with the gray hair. I've been in the tech space for about 15 years as well. I've been started off with the software for the music sector and then moved into marketing. And now what we're doing with Look at Media, we're focused primarily on the media and the PR sector.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So yeah, as you said, yeah, you've been a storyteller. You now have an AI-powered media company. Like, how has foundationally changed PR, storytelling, shaped your perspective on AI leadership today?
I suppose the best way to think about it is when I was a kid, my mother bought these World Book encyclopedias. I was an information junkie as a 10-year-old, and she bought the whole collection. And one summer, I read them from start to finish, which people thought I was insane. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Imagine if you could actually access this much information all the time. So when the internet came along, I got involved back in the mid-90s and set up my first web development business. And I've been involved in technology and the nexus of communication and technology since that time. So as we progress to AI and we've gone through the whole web cycle, we got involved in this a few years back and we've been developing our product. It isn't something where we've seen the AI surge that we're seeing nowadays. We've been planning this for some while and implementing it for a while as well. We've known exactly where we wanted to take the technology, but we never saw AI as the endpoint. We saw it as a tool. We knew what the goal was that we wanted to achieve. And we knew what was actually in the PR space and that the technology, everything was pretty much 10 years out of date. So there was this emerging gap between what journalists, how they were working and how PR were working. And so all of a sudden, we found that journalists were not getting what they want. They were under a huge amount of pressure to create more content. And we ended up with the scenario which we have today where the media, its power is diminished. It hasn't gone by any stretch of the imagination. News is still social currency and we all still crave news. We want to be up to date with things. It's how we get that information. And one of the things that we started with is that we realized the news sector was not, they didn't have the videographers or photographers to create visual content to go with their stories. And so when social media started going really heavy on the visual content, they were left behind. People started looking for those visual narratives. And you started to see the numbers drop on traditional media sources. The irony is the media is the one who taught us about visual narratives. And so it's been picked up by social media. So the first thing that we did, we solved that problem. We worked with the company going back about 5 years ago, and we integrated a digital asset management into a news center. And what that did to their media profile was dramatic. And we have organizations now who drive all their PR activity through the media, their media centers that we provide that don't actually have the PR team driving it. They're at the back end doing things. The journalists come to them and so they get all the content they want. Then they go away and write the stories. And that has been quite a big change for those people. But what we're trying to do is make that a universally available model. So we've built an AI technology model, which means that what we can do with that technology. You can have no PR experience whatsoever. Jump onto our tech and create the PR media pitches that are as good as anyone in the world. Find the exact right journalist at the exact right time to deliver your story to. And basically democratizing the whole idea of PR. And in doing so, we're helping journalists, we're helping the media, we're helping new media with access to a lot more stories, better visual storytelling. And the idea is we want to revitalize the role of media in all its forms at a time when fake content is starting to emerge at an alarming rate, and people are starting to not be able to tell the difference between what's real and what's fake. Now, when it comes to news, that's really important. Whether if you're looking at it from a social perspective, democracy, it's not a case of people. We're not worried about people looking at something fake and saying, "Oh, I don't believe that." We're concerned that people will get to a point where they don't believe anything anymore. So, in that case, how do we communicate as a society? How do we connect with each other? How do we find that common ground that allows us to move forward? And that's where our technology is focused.
Yeah, it's so true. There's so much noise out there, and you can tell it was written by AI, and you just get numb to it. And but what's interesting, so like we're a tech company, product company, so we would go to your website or your software platform, and we would say, okay, we're shipping this new version of our software. Here's some customers' use cases, and here's what we're doing and the value. And then what your platform then will create pitches to journalists, send out the pitches, and then create some visuals to tell along with that story. Is that the way it works, or?
Kind of, but there's a couple of important points in there. So you can go to our technology and you can, let's say for example, you've never written a media pitch in your life, but you know that there's these three facts that you want to actually communicate, get out into the general public, and you want to leverage it through the media. So you can just put in those three points. We then have a, and because this is about data, we've built a media corpus of over 22 billion words. And we've trained it to create language models for over 1 million journalists. So that allows us to be able to take those little bits of information you give us, write a press release that is going to appeal to journalists, basically in an article format. But then in doing so, we look at what the messaging is. We can identify which journalists are most likely to write about this. And write about it in a positive way. And then we create you a media book. So you don't even have to know which journalist to use. We'll tell you every single time. And we'll show you why we picked up on it, which articles these people have written about recently, which align with the messaging you want to get out. Once you actually approve that, we send that press release out to every one of the journalists on that list, but we rewrite the press release in their own language. So it's the exact way that journalist would write for their audience.
Oh,
So
wow.
it picks up on local nuance so that if you're in Middle America versus New York, the language will vary because that's the way that we're learning from the journalists. So every journalist gets an individual press release and visual narrative to go with
Well,
that
that's
is
clever.
aligned with their target audience. But here's the kicker. The images are not AI generated. In fact, we block AI generated images through our platform. And the reason being is with the media, you have to give them authentic content. It has to be verifiable. It has to be traceable. So because they're getting bombarded now with fake AI imagery, they are at risk of losing their reputations. And as a journalist or a media group, the only thing that you have is your reputation. Once that's gone, you have nothing. Now, we have the same thing with educational institutions who are now looking at our technology to train journalists coming out of school and train PR people. So we've got some of the biggest journalist courses in the US who are now looking at embedding our technology in how they train students. We designed this technology initially for PR, but what's happened is the media sector got wind of our language model and they started contacting us. And now we're talking to all the major media groups in the US about using our language model for the generation of the news.
So you talk about visual storytelling. So how do you get the visual and the images? Like, how do you do that? So if we wrote a story, or here's the value that we're delivering, I think that's great that you look at the style and of the writers to hit their target market. That's amazing. But how do you get the visual part of it?
The visual, that's where the digital asset management comes into it. So we have a full digital asset management system at the back end. So think of it like a photo or video library. You might think iStock or Shutterstock or Getty as one of those sources where you get stock images. Every client has their own library of images and videos. They might use some for marketing. They might have just collected them along the way. They can be product shots. Anything that you've actually got that you've created yourself sits in that library. So it means that you've got a centralized source of managing those assets. But more importantly, you go through those collections and you say, this is the content we're willing to share with the media. So when the media come through the process, they can only see the content that has been pre-approved, which means because the media also has compliance requirements. So we tick all of those boxes. When they download the images or videos, they don't have to go back and forth to the PR team to make sure that they're authorized to use this content. They're automatically authorized to use that content.
Yeah,
So
that's
they can
great.
use real images. And what we're also building with the AI as well is a model where, based on the press release we create, we can actually go through your entire library of media compliant content, figure out which images go together to match up to the story and give that visual narrative with its own descriptions and so on. So all of that's done in one workflow. But we also write the press conference script so that if you're doing it, we can train it on your language model and you can deliver it directly to the media. And we also do a whole calendar of social media. Plus we do media monitoring, threat and opportunity analysis. Everything is done through the same solution. And it's all based on one set of data.
So are you working on top of the popular LLMs, or did you create your own model, or how did you do that?
We've created a vertical language model. So we used some of the semantic capabilities of a large language model, but effectively the whole corpus is ours and all the training and tuning is ours as well. Now,
Wow.
what we also do is we've built in something called fact locking, which means that we can talk about the sort of hallucination rate of the individual LLMs. It varies dramatically, but it's somewhere as high as 20 to 30%. Our hallucination rate is 0.01%, and we say it's that high for legal reasons. We've never seen an error, not once.
Wow.
And because of the way we, and that's really important because we do high-risk communications. And that's where clients see the value in what we're doing with what we're pushing out. When you push out a press release, you're amplifying whatever you say straight away. And the media will pick up on any little mistake and it'll spread like wildfire. So it's important to have a technology where there are absolutely no errors going out. And that's what we do. So it's all about the integrity of the messaging, the integrity of the visual content that we're sharing with you, and the accuracy of who we actually target. And like I said, that comes from a single database and a single corpus. Everything is trained off those, and that's where we really put data to use.
Yeah, you answered a couple of questions I had, which is just trust and AI generated content. And so you feel that your technology is pretty authentic because your output is specialized to the journalist. But the challenge, or maybe a different question, because I'm just thinking out loud here, is that where is this all going? Like with AI, so much information, journalists, like what's your vision of where this is all going?
We have a very clear vision, and that vision is that journalists of any type, whether you're a traditional journalist, you're a broadcaster, you're a podcaster, you're a blogger, you're an influencer, the real value going forward is going to be something that's authentic and verifiable. Now, there's been a big shift in PR to get away from spin to focus more on authenticity. If you've made a mistake in crisis management, the model now is admit it. And then talk about how you're going to fix the problem and make sure it doesn't reoccur in the future. Our technology is focused on compliance and accuracy. So the idea is it doesn't matter what's happening in the world outside, journalists or anyone in that media space can come to one of our client sites and they're going to get it's going to be a single source of truth. You can depend on the stories you're getting, and you can make sure that the visual narratives you're getting are authentic. They are not altered by AI. So by ticking those boxes and having a model where there's no leakage from the existing language models makes a big difference in terms of credibility. We're all about giving our clients credibility and also the media sources who are using the content we deliver credibility as well.
And I guess it would be, it's maybe it's not hard, but we're like a mid-sized company and coming up with all those images and visuals, we would be tempted to use AI and make it authentic. But do you shun against that? Or because to have enough visuals and storytelling, is that a challenge for your clients to have enough visual assets or?
Not really. It's usually when people start digging around, because the thing is, the same images, if you take five images and put them in a different order, you can tell a different story. So you're reusing the images you have. You will have images, most people have up to 5,000 or 6,000 images on their phones. So we have clients who have 800 images in their whole collection. That's more than enough to create 50, 60 pages in a media center and a couple of years worth of press releases. It's not hard to actually do. But let's say, for example, if you're doing an infographic isn't, you can use AI to do that, but it's not an AI generated image. It's not you standing next to a product that doesn't exist. So the idea is you can do that sort of thing. But in terms of, for example, we have the two big political parties in the US who are looking at using our technology for the next election cycle. And one of the criteria for them is how do we get out there and talk authentically and push back against the AI-generated content that's already starting to hit the media space? And our technology is the technology that can get it done.
Yes.
So that's our brand. It's important that organizations in this space do things like what we're doing with fact locking and making sure that only authentic information gets out there, because there's such a flood of fake information already. And 12 months ago, a lot of that fake visual content was easy to spot. I got caught by one last week, and this is what I do for a gig. There was one video of a politician. I could not tell that it was fake. I searched everywhere. And only by realizing that they weren't publishing this content themselves on their own site, I realized it was fake. Now, if I can't tell, and other experts can't tell, then that becomes an issue. Now, with our technology, we have ways of actually identifying fake content. So when we do threat and opportunity analysis, we can analyze the entire media space in 3 seconds. And in doing so, we can identify for our clients where they need to be focusing their attention, and also identify fake narratives that are emerging. And that helps them. So we can see by the velocity of how much that's spreading and the speed it's spreading, whether they should respond to it or ignore it. So it also helps them focus their attention. And again, this is just one data set that's allowing us to do all of these things.
So that's interesting. So you have services that you can go and see what the narrative out there is. It a false or negative narrative to warrant a response? So you're providing that kind of service for your clients?
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. And how accurate is that? How's the response to that? Sounds like amazing, but how
Well,
accurate is that?
again, this comes down to, so let's say, for example, visual narratives, there is technology we use to actually help identify what's fake and what's real. When it comes to the actual storytelling, sometimes it has credibility if it's under the name of a journalist or a podcaster or something like that, and you're going to see a lot more of that sort of content. So we can take the language used, we can transcribe it if it's video, if it's written, we can take it as well. And then we compare that to our media corpus, which is growing all the time. We take in about 3 million stories a day and build that out. So we can compare that against the real voice of those journalists and identify whether that's the way they actually talk, or whether somebody thinks they've talked this way, or they've asked a large language model to mimic that person's voice.
And you're doing the same thing though, right? So would your own system detect you? Because you're writing in the style of that writer or that audience of that outlet, but
Yes.
it's AI generated, right?
Yes, but when you actually do a side-by-side comparison, because one of the things that we were asked to do early on, and we do all the time, is it's a way that we've actually developed this language model. So if you do a side-by-side comparison with a particular journalist and you get any of the language models to mimic them and write a story in that style and put it side by side with ours, you will look at ours and go, that is actually by the journalist. And we've had journalists go, did I write that? I can't remember writing
Yeah,
that.
because you
And
gave it, yeah, you gave
yeah,
the
they, yeah,
context,
we,
you trained it.
Yeah, and the training is pretty advanced. That's our X factor. That's the part, because we're not pulling data from all sources. Our language model is an inch wide and a mile deep. And the idea is that we focus on one thing and one thing only. If you're talking one of the large language models, one day you might get it to write a poem for your dog. The next day you might get it to write a resume or a project report. It's designed to be like the Swiss Army knife. And like a Swiss Army knife, it's great, but it's better to have a knife that does a particular job. So it's that focusing on an individual task or an individual sector allows us to put all our resources into doing that. It means that we can respond faster. We use a fraction of the resources. So, for example, we use about 15% of the same tokens that a large language model would need to get the same outcome. So we're saving on resources and energy as well. So it's highly efficient. And I think
Wow.
this is going to be, you're going to see a lot more of this in 2026. These vertical language models are where the future lies. They do have foundations in the large language models, but for organizations that want something that returns true value, this is where it's going to come from. You're already starting to see it in the health sector. You'll see it in other sectors as well. But the vertical language model, it's challenging to do it because you've got to have the data sets to do it. But once you have that, you can really focus your attention in and you can get there much faster. I saw a report recently which showed that I think something like $130 billion had been invested in 2025 in large language models. And I think the revenue was around $12 billion. I could be wrong on that, but pretty sure that's what it said. There's about 1.1 billion invested in vertical language models, and they're returning something like 9 billion in revenue. So you can
Yeah.
see why there's a move to this. You can move much faster, you can move with more accuracy, and you can deliver true value to people, which is really, it's going to be the big challenge for large language models. When you're that generalist and you're allowing all that leakage and having to cut corners with the coding and the evaluations, I'm not sure how they get around it. It seems like a hurdle too big, but I think they'll get a lot of their revenue coming from organizations like us, where we use some of their foundational elements and then partition off everything else and then build our own technology on top of it. I think that's going to be where you see the future.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot of talk about domain specific and as opposed to general purpose. And yeah, it's very interesting what you're working on. So, like from your point of view, like enterprise communication, media operations, like how do you see organizational culture and just how organizations are going to change to effectively use the AI? I think they need to use your platform. But the other side, like the consumers and the enterprise PR teams and media teams, how do you think all this is going to evolve?
It's interesting. I saw some research recently which showed, I think it was in 24, about half the spend in AI was going internal and half of it was going for third-party providers. I think 25, that ratio changed to three quarters of that investment is now going to external providers. And we've been engaging with companies who tried to do it themselves. They got to a point where it was like, we're spending a lot of money here. We're not specialists in this space. We're better off outsourcing this. And to give you an example, that's what's been happening in the media space. See, we can go into, say, a media group, and we train on the language of every single station. So we can do very localized training. We can train on the anchors, we can train on the journalists. In doing so, we can take their content and rewrite it in the voice of an anchor, and then allow that to be pushed directly to the teleprompter. So by doing that, it means that a small media group can have embed their language model, keep improving things, get news out dramatically faster, and spend a lot more time on investigative journalism. Now, that's where I think AI can be actually valuable to organizations and people. That idea of figuring out ways of not just automating everything. I'm so over my email trying to summarize my emails. It's driving me nuts. I don't think there's value in that. It's figuring out where the value is and where you can actually free up time that where people bring the greatest value. That's where our focus is. And with our technology, the process allows you could literally walk off the street, sit down and do a media pitch that would match up with the largest PR firms in the world in 5 minutes flat. And the beauty is we're doing a lot of work with the enterprise. We're doing a lot of network solutions at the moment, but we'll soon be launching a product which will be $5 per user per day. Now, that means those tiny organizations, even SMEs, can get into this world of PR, which they've been priced out of. And they can actually, and based on that, we've identified something like a greenfield of 15 million companies and organizations globally who could then have access to PR using our technology.
That's great.
Now, that means that if we can start doing that, means that there's going to be more authoritative content getting out into the world, more content going into the media space, more quality content going into social media. We can really help push back.
Now, does your platform also support always-on social media communication or even messaging and product-led growth kind of messaging out, but focusing in on different audiences or?
What we've done initially with the social media side of things, we've written individual language models for each of the social channels. So we take that core press release, once you actually sign that off or your team signs it off, we then take that as the core content and then we rewrite it as social posts for each of those channels. And you can say, oh, look, I want to do 10 posts over 3 days of this. And we will write all of those 10 posts. But with the visuals that we have in there, we can use different images to create 20 completely different social posts around the same story if you want. Now, that can work equally as well for an organization as it can for a journalist or an anchor in a newsroom. So we manage all that side of things. And then we also monitor how effective that's actually been, give you that information back so that the next time you go to do it, you know which images work, which messaging works. And we keep tra reinforce training your individual model. So over time, our technology becomes more and more your technology.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And then, like looking ahead, like 5 years, what AI trends or innovation do you believe most profoundly will change how leaders think about data, narrative control, and corporate reputation?
I think it's going to keep coming back to this one thing, which is how do I ensure that the information that I'm putting out is accurate, and how can I become that single source of truth about my organization? Now, in 5 years' time, I couldn't tell you whether a lot of the media groups will still be around. There's a research document that's come out recently by Reuters, which shows that there could be as big a shift for news, 40% of people finding their news through large language models in this year. That's dramatic. That means that 40% less people who are currently reading digital newspapers or watching broadcasts, which that focus will shift to large language models. So we've actually optimized our technology from the outset for citations as well, so that we see these large language models as a future source of news. And in fact, people are already doing it. So we've built the technology so the media center drives the citations in the large language models. And that means that it prevents those fake narratives coming in. I won't get into the details of how we do it, but we're considered, our client sites are considered almost as authoritative as a major news organization when it comes to the large language models.
So, like you talk, I know you're focused on media communications, but we all want citations. We all want quality content. We all want to show up in the answers in the LLMs. And so, do you think your platform will transform into just a content monitoring, content producer? Like we spend time, our marketing team, creating content for the audiences we serve, the products we have. And do you see it, your platform being used from that perspective?
It has the capabilities of doing that. Our technology has the capabilities of land and expand because the digital asset management can be used across the entire organization. It can be used for the marketing department. We have organizations that have up to 1 million assets in our digital asset management system, but they might only allow 2,000 or 3,000 of those images to be used for PR purposes. So you've got the capabilities of managing all those resources in the cloud and making them available all over the globe. We also have AI in that technology, writing the meta descriptions and doing facial recognition and so on. But the idea that whether we start to see a convergence between PR and marketing, I think there already is that now. I think programmatic advertising is challenging. People don't like ads. I come from that background and I know that people just don't like ads. If the messaging has come from an authoritative voice, like a journalist or a podcaster that you trust, it has a lot more credibility. And if that person can trust where that content's coming from, then that gives them the confidence to put that content out there. Now, what that's going to mean, I think there's an opportunity for the media to adapt to that. I think large language models will play a role, but I think that pushing out 3 or 4 years into the future, I don't think anybody can really predict what that's going to look like. What we've done is made sure that we're agile and future-proof enough so that we can adapt to any media environment. And by putting our sort of our flag in the soil and saying, this is what we stand for and this is what we represent, that won't change. That's the benchmark, that the gold standard that the media needs and that the public should have access to. And that's what we're focused on.
Yeah, and I don't know if your folk would focus on this, but there's a need to say, here's my ideal customer profile. Here's my ICP. Yes, I would like to have channels that are authoritative and independent and credible. So that's great. But what you're doing, but create content that's useful for that ICP that helps talk about problem solutions. But then all that storytelling then goes through other channels like podcasters, influencers, media outlets. So it's not really it's not really a press release or it's an event. You're just communicating out into the market solutions and use cases and jobs to be done and ICPs. Do you guys think like that or?
Yes, we do, without giving away too much there. But our primary focus is on solving this problem. What you're talking about is an extension of that. So, for example, this owned media is going to become much more prevalent in 2026 in the PR space. And what we also deliver as part of this is a media center. So it looks a bit like a website, but it's more like a news magazine on an organization. So that's good for SEO and so on. But whereas sending out a press release, the old way of doing things, that's like a one page in a book. The idea is that you can create an entire book on an organization, historical content, evergreen content, talk about lots of different things for lots of different audiences. That can be found organically and through search. So we've got that sort of covered. But what you're talking about, if you're talking about getting into the specifics of marketing, and I do draw a line here between marketing and PR, I think that line is going to start to fade. I think that is going to start to become more and more blurry. I think it already is. But in the future, I've seen some failed attempts with using AI with advertising at the moment, and I don't think they quite understand how to talk to individuals. And I think PR probably has a bit more of a handle on that side of things, how to talk to mass people, but make it feel like you're talking to one person.
Yeah, do you see your platform evolving to that use case, not PR, but more of marketing communications and content?
Yeah, I think that the capabilities are already there
Yeah.
in terms of what we've built. We've got some more medium-term plans around that. So we'll go into organizations, start with the PR, start with the digital asset management, the crisis communication, the strategic communications, and then we will keep building on that platform over time. So our goal long-term is to be like the Microsoft of communications.
Yeah,
That
good. Because like everything I'm hearing you're saying, it'd be nice to use it from that kind of go to market instead of just talking to the press and PR. It's really communication on a lot of channels to different groups. And yeah.
Well, see, at the moment, currently about on average about 10% of marketing budgets are spent on PR.
Yeah.
So it's already a serious sort of allocation, and expenditure on PR is growing at a rate of about 6.75% a year internationally. So people are learning more into it, but the definition of PR is starting to evolve
Yeah.
beyond getting out to journalists. It's going, for example, by the end of 26, we intend to have a influencer database of 60 million.
Oh, that'd
And
be
that will
awesome.
be people, they have to have over 10,000 followers to even qualify to be on that list.
And
So we can communicate with them.
will you focus on any sector or all sectors? It's more about the reach of the influencer.
At the moment, we've got some major clients in the automotive sector, healthcare. We're going to be very big in politics because of the authenticity aspect and what we can do on a network. We've got education, we've got tourism, nonprofits. It works for everybody because everyone has to do PR is like getting credit in the bank. And the idea is you want to build that reputation, that profile, that brand sentiment. So when something does go wrong, and at some point it will, you can draw down on that. And that's what PR does that advertising doesn't do. Advertising can have some impact on sentiment, but hearing your favorite journalist or your favorite blogger or podcaster talking about a product and giving their endorsement for it has much more credibility and has a much more of a residual impact in terms of people's perception and sentiment. So I
Yeah.
think there's going to be something that's, this is a really interesting conversation. There's going to be a move in that direction, and somehow these technologies are going to come together.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that's in your vision because we all could use that for
Yeah,
sure.
I
Now,
agree.
now
No argument.
was there a question I didn't ask you that you really wanted to share with the audience?
I suppose it would come down to the whole concept of vertical AI, and in terms of how do you actually, how did you go about creating such a large corpus, and how do you manage that going forward to make sure that it has the right content? Because one of the things about language models, small or large, it all comes down to the quality of the content. And if you don't have good content to begin with, that's where not just hallucinations, but mistakes start happening. And I think one of the important things I would say about AI is everybody just sees it as a wrapper. They just say, yeah, we have AI. But what does that actually mean? Does it mean that they've done the hard work? See, we've focused on what are the hard jobs? What's the hard thing to do here that nobody else wants to do? So we started with the language model, making sure that the quality of the corpus was spot on before we even started doing training, and that our journalist database was absolutely spot on as well. Now, everybody's in a rush to get to an AI product, get it to market as quickly as possible. But we've seen so many failures in this space where people have rushed to market because they either didn't understand the market, they didn't really understand the problem they were trying to solve, or they had really bad data. And that's something I think is the lesson that we all need to take away from AI. Stop, think about what you want to do. We almost reverse engineer the solutions that we have. I'm not a coder by practice. I'm a designer and a copywriter and a communicator. So I start from that point. What do I want to be able to use? How do I simplify this down so that anybody can come onto our technology? They don't have to learn our technology. I find that assumption nowadays arrogant, but if I have to spend 3 hours learning how to use your tech, I'm gone. I'm not going to use it.
Yes.
So with ours, you can jump on, you don't have to know what you're doing, and you can use it straight away, and it upskills you immediately. But in doing so, that it has all of those human verification points in the process as well, because I don't believe in the idea of AI just freestyling it. You need to be able to have humans in the loop, just managing every aspect of it. So what we do is we augment the process. We make it so simple for you to actually do, and to do it at such a higher level, you become the editor. You don't start with a blank sheet of paper. You just have a couple of bits of information you want to get out there. You're not sure how to do it. Let us do the heavy lifting. You look at it from an editor's perspective and say, I need to fix this. But the quality that drives the content that we are creating is all dependent on that database, that media corpus. Any leakage or anything that's bad in there is going to throw out our model entirely.
Yeah, that's smart. You're right. Everyone's just adding some intelligence to the LLMs, and your approach of domain specific and concentrating on quality training content for your target market is super smart. And most people can't do that. And so, yeah, good job, Craig. Very
Thank you.
interesting. If people wanted to reach out to you, get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can find our company on LinkedIn. Just look up Look at Media, or they can go to lookatmedia.co. We can show a lot more of our content. We also have a channel on YouTube where you can see videos which are specific to each sector and what we can actually deliver. But the best thing to do is try and reach out, have a discussion with us. Our team's great. We've got some incredible people on our team. That's the one thing that I probably didn't get a chance to talk about. We've attracted some of the best talent, some of the most passionate people who are so mission focused, and that's what drives the success of what we're doing. So we've got major people from the media sector who work with us. We've got major people from the PR space, AI tech people from around the world. It's just, I feel so humbled by having such a great team to work with. It's really
Amazing.
exciting.
Yeah, good job. Yeah,
So
that's
yeah, you
hard to
can reach
do.
out through those channels. And it's happened almost effortlessly. It's been remarkable. It seems to be that if you have a great mission and you can communicate that, people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
People want
definitely.
their lives to have value and to do something that's important. And
Yeah.
that's the vision that we present.
I think what you're building and your vision of what you're building is spot on. I think that attracts talented people that want to help you on that journey to deliver on that. I'm excited by it. I think it's great. It's great what you're working on.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Craig. I appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you, Dean, and also thank you. I hope your audience has actually got something out of this conversation.
I think they will because it's everyone needs PR. Everyone needs to have authenticity in storytelling and communicating appropriately. And it's getting harder and harder because of AI. So I like that you're using AI to make it easier. So thanks. Good job.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida. And Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.